Grace, we always need grace every day, every moment. We need your grace to live. We need your grace to make decisions. We need your grace, Lord, to survive in this world. Without your grace, we are just helpless. But Lord, we are thankful that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. That Lord, you are our strength, you're our hope, you're our foundation, you're the joy of our life, you're the lover of our souls. And Father, we come to you this morning and we say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in us and through us and all that you want to do, Lord. We give you the praise for everything. The mess ups are ours, but Lord, all of the good things belong to your honor. And so we give you thanks this morning. And I pray that not only for myself, but for Sherry, that you'd help us, God, to minister to your people. They're precious to you. You love them. And we do too, Lord. And we just want the best for those that will hear this message today, that they might be encouraged and gather strength, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of you saw this the other day. But it really troubled my heart, and it was on a news broadcast. And if you want to get depressed, just watch the news. You know, if you're up and having the greatest day in the world, all you got to do is turn on the news, and you'll be down in just a minute. There's very little that goes on that's enjoyable anymore. You don't turn and see very many happy things. But what I saw was a congresswoman who was addressing Congress, and in her speech, she was thankful for all the, well, the one phrase she used was the birthing people. How many of you saw that? She was, for all the birthing people. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I know, biologically, the only people that can give birth are females. I mean, am I wrong? And when we become so politically correct in our world that now there's a mix-up of who gives birth to children, we are on a path that is not good. And when this mentality of this wokeness that unless you agree with all that's coming down the road, there's something wrong with you. Don't buy into it, church. Don't buy into it. Resist it. Stand against it with all that you have. Because the pressure's coming against you and against me in this present day. It's a war. I mean, it's a spiritual war. The scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there is a wickedness that's coming through our land that is trying to mold and shape people's minds and to remove truth, completely from the marketplace, to remove truth from government, from school, from even from the church. When we become so insane that we're talking about birthing people or the people that give birth, because we don't want to offend somebody, what have we come to? Now, with that good news, I'm going to turn it over to my wife so she can cheer you up. I'm serious. I did want to preach this morning, but I know she has something alive in her, and what's alive in me is going in a completely different direction. So I'm going to let you speak. No, I'm not going to give you this. I'm not going to give up my mic. You shut it off if I wave my hand.
Oh,
I'm teasing
God.
Now. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. Take my stuff? Sure, I'll take my stuff. Take all my stuff.
Since you're keeping the head mic, this will be interesting for me to turn pages. Okay.
Does that sound like manipulation?
This morning, when he was saying that, I just said, Lord, if you have something for the ladies, please put it on my heart. And just all the stuff started coming. So I'll just share what I have, and we'll see what God has. So I would like you first to open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 31. And this is not going to be a woman's message about what you should do. But turn to Proverbs 31 and look at verse number 10, please. And this is what it says. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, but in the King James Version, it says, who can find, or in my version, it says, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels. But up there it says, the others translate, wait, let's pray. Father, I just pray for your anointing, Lord. Put my thoughts together, and Father, help me to really share what you put on my heart. Okay, let's go back to this. Okay. It talks about a virtuous woman, and that word virtuous means, and listen to this because this is really important. This is for all of you ladies, whether you're a mom or not, and that's what I love about this. It's a military term. That word virtuous means, it's a military term, and it means valor, might, bravery, success, force, strength, or a mighty warrior. And so what I want to say, ladies, is we are a force to be reckoned with. And I want you to think about this. As a woman of God with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have got something inside of you that God wants to use in our world today. Now, we know that there's all kinds of stuff going on, and so we're not going to go there. But I want you to turn over to Judges chapter 4. And I want to talk to you for a minute about a lady named Deborah. And Deborah's story is very interesting because she was one of the judges of Israel. And the reason Deborah was a judge in Israel is because the men wouldn't rise to the occasion. Now, that breaks my heart. The men who God had called to be his representatives on the earth weren't doing their part. And so God took a woman. She was willing. And how many of you know that so often, even in the local churches, the women are the ones that carry the work because we've got all this energy and this desire to serve and to walk with God. But this woman, Deborah, is unique. If you look at chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at the time. Now, we don't know anything more about Deborah's personal life than she was a wife. We don't know if she was a mother. I'm assuming she wasn't because it's not mentioned anywhere else in the scripture. But Deborah was a woman who was willing to be used of God, and she was a prophetess. And her calling was to encourage and to challenge. And obviously she must have walked with God because the men would come to the gate and ask her questions. And so here's this woman who probably didn't really want to be in that position, in a position where she was giving advice and counsel, and she was judging Israel and solving problems because the people would come to her and ask questions. And it says she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country. My Bible, I had something marked there. In the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh, Naphtali, or whatever it says, and said to him, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the son of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Now here she is, sitting in the gate, seeking God. And God gives her a word for the man. So she calls the man, and he comes, and she gives him the word of the Lord. And in verse 7 says, God says to him, I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. Then Barak said to her, this just breaks my heart, if you will go with me, then I'll go. Now, think about this. Here he is, a man. The woman sitting in the gate, she's making the decisions. She's given the word of the Lord. And he says, I'll go if you go with me. But if you don't go, I'm not going to go. What does that tell you about his walk with God? That breaks my heart. But it also tells me something about Deborah. She was humble enough to recognize that God had put her in this position. So she wasn't lording it over him. She was just delivering what God was telling her to do. And she said, I will surely go with you. And this is where I think she heard from God. You, nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey. that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." So not only does he have to carry the load of going into battle, but the woman who is, he's insisting come along with him, is saying to him, "You know what? You're going to go into battle and you'll beat it, but guess what? You're not going to get the glory. Another woman's going to get it." Now look down at verse number 17. Verse number 14 first. It says, "Deborah said to Barak, 'Arise, for this is a day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands, and behold, the Lord has gone out before you.' So Barak went down from the Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hag, I can't pronounce it, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not even one was left. Now Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Turn aside, my master, turn aside to me. Don't be afraid.' And he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, 'Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty.' So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink. Then she covered him. And he said to her, 'Stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be, if anyone comes and inquires of you and says, is there anyone here? You shall say no.' But Jael, Heber's wife, took the tent peg and seized a hammer in her hand and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted, and so he died." So here is this depressing story of this mighty woman who is brave enough to look at the enemy and say, "You know what? You're not going to win in my country." And she drives the tent peg into his head. So we have two women here that are being used of God to stop an enemy. Now, I think it's admirable that Barak went into battle and he was fighting and he took his warriors and they were doing a good work. But the women were a force in the midst of this and they were being used of God. And if you look over at chapter 5, verse number 7, they were, after the battle was won, Deborah and Barak were singing a song. And in verse number 7, it says, "The peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel." And what I want us to see as women is, whether you have children or you don't have children, here is a woman that we have no record had children, and she was called a mother in Israel. What does a mother do? Guides, directs, nurtures, cares for, speaks into the life of her children, says the things that are hard sometimes that nobody else has the courage to say, but the mom will get in the face and say, "You know what? You need to stop it now.
Yes, Mom.
Get up off your duff and go work." You know, women have this innate thing. We are a force to be reckoned with. God has put that in us, ladies. And so here we have a biblical record of a woman that God used mightily to change a whole nation. He used her mightily over and over again. And if you read the rest of the story, you see that, I mean, there were just other things that she did until God finally found a man who was willing to step into the position. But the country was in a mess. Well, isn't that a little similar to what's going on in our nation today? There's tension, there's division. Nobody's listening to anybody. Women have the ability to listen and hear the heart. And so, ladies, we have an opportunity in this land that we live in today to be peacemakers, to be people that are mighty used of the Lord to bring healing to our nation. Look at another woman in the Bible. Look at Esther. And I want you to look at Esther chapter 4, verse number 14. And this is obviously Mordecai talking to Esther, who was in, she was actually in, kind of snatched away and put in a situation that was not pleasant, where she was going to be one of the many wives of the king. And in verse number 14, this is what her uncle says to her: "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? Another woman put in a situation that she probably didn't want to be in. Things were bad. And the king was going to, he was manipulated into trying to plot against her people. He didn't know she was a Jew. And her uncle says to her, maybe this is your time. Ladies, I would say to us, maybe this is our time. Maybe this is our time not to remain silent. Maybe this is our time to step into the place of authority that God's given us in the areas of influence that he's given us. Maybe this is our time to speak into the lives of the children that surround us, whether they're nieces or nephews or children or grandchildren. Maybe this is our time to write letters, to pray, to begin to intercede and to say and do the things that we need to do. This is our time. It's not the time for us to sit back and put our feet up and eat bonbons. This is not that time. This is the time that God has placed us in this season of history for such a time as this. This is our hour. This is our time. This is our privilege. It's our honor. It's our anointing. It's our grace that God's given us for us to do the things that he's called us to do. How many of you ladies have this stirring inside of you, this restlessness? There's something going on and you see things and you're just like, ugh. You want to say something. And many times we hold back because we're afraid. Don't be afraid. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God has placed us here in this season of history for a purpose. And that purpose is a holy and high calling from God. I want us to turn over to Isaiah chapter 32. And I love this scripture. And this is, I shared this a couple years ago because it was so alive in me. And I think it's even more important now. The nation of Israel was in a mess. And they were being judged by God. It was not a good time. Look at verse number 9. This is what the prophet says. Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters. This is kind of a rebuke. You know, rise up, women. Come on. Get out of your place of ease. Come on. Get up. Rise up. Look at the next verse. Within a year and a few days, you will be troubled, O complacent daughters, for the vintage is ended and the fruit gathering will not come. So what he's saying to them is he says, look, you can kind of see things are a mess here and you're still sitting back in your ease, relaxing, enjoying your life. He says, look, rise up. Look around you. Things are just going to get bad, people. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to get bad in our country because whoever's sitting in the White House. I'm saying it's getting bad in our country because we're in the end days. And we know that the world everywhere, this is for women in Ukraine and Romania and England and all over the world. We as women need to look at the signs of the times. We are entering into the last of the last days. Society as a whole, all over the world, immorality and perverse thinking is taking over. God is turning people over to reprobate minds everywhere. Look at the things that are being embraced. And so he's saying to us, ladies, he said, look, things are going to get bad. Rise up. Rise up off of this bed of ease. Look at verse number 11. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent daughters. Strip, undress, put sackcloth on your waist. He's saying, look, this is so serious that you not only need to get up off of these beds of ease, but you need to start fasting. You need to just step into that uncomfortable place that you don't necessarily want to be. Because that's the season that we're in. Let's not pretend like it's going to go back to normal. The 1950s aren't going to happen again. When everybody was apple pie and mom and everybody loved each other and the country was wonderful and morality was the thing. I was in the doctor's office the other day and there was a lady sitting two seats away from me. And another lady came in who was obviously her friend, and she stopped and she said, oh, hi. And she, the other lady said, hi, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm so excited. We're leaving tomorrow to go see my daughter. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And she said, yes, my daughter and her wife had a baby. And the other lady, and I'm sitting there going, ugh. And the lady says,
oh, that's just great. And how is your daughter-in-law? I mean, they're talking about it as though it's normal. We have normalized sin in our land. And so, ladies, let's be smart. Let's rise up. Let's get off of our beds of ease. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's let that mighty warrior that's inside of us come forth. Let's be those virtuous women. Let's be women that people look at and say, wow, what's in her that's not in me? Do you realize if we enter into the call of God and the place that he's got us in, the impact it's going to have on our world? Do you have any idea? There are people that are looking for somebody that will stand for truth, that will tell them what they need to hear, and we get to do it. Look at the next verse there. But beat your breast and for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the land of my people in which thorns and briars shall come up, yea, for all the joyful houses and for the joyful, jubilant city. He says, look, not only should you put on the sackcloth, you need to be beating your breast. You know what that means? It means crying out, oh, God. Crying out to God. Get in our faces before the Lord. Be willing to stand in the gap for those that we see going downward. How many of you have family members, friends, people that you love that are walking in sin right now and that you can just see the downward spiral? Raise your hand. Men, women, don't we all have somebody? What are you doing about it? Are you just saying, oh, well, I hope things get okay. Well, I don't know. I wish they weren't living that way. Listen, we have an opportunity to cry out to God for them, to stand in the gap for them. To be saying, Lord, please withhold your judgment. Give mercy. Open their spiritual eyes, their spiritual ears. Let them see and hear the truth of the gospel. And if we live it, we're going to be imparting life, not death. If you're living that Christ-like, if you're living 100% surrendered to God, guess what? They're going to be coming to you like they did to Deborah and say, what should I do? Because they know that you hear from God. When you walk in a room, the Holy Spirit walks in with you. And what is the Holy Spirit's job? He convicts of sin and of righteousness. You ever wonder why you walk in a room and everybody's going, what are you ever going to do? Talk about God. And you haven't opened your mouth? Guess what? If you're walking with God, that's why they're saying that. Because there's something. The Holy Spirit is dealing with them and stirring their hearts and convicting them of their sin. Or they start justifying what they're doing, and you haven't even asked them what they're doing. I mean, they just, well, you know, it's not everybody. It's not easy. I'm just human walking around here. I can't help it. Everybody's got a sin. What's the big deal? The big deal is God's called us to holiness. And listen, ladies, we are to walk that way to be an example to our children and the family members and people around us. And so our nation, he's sitting there, he's saying to these women, look, get up off your bed of ease, look around, start fasting, start crying out to me. Why? Because I'm judging the land. It's going to get worse. Look at the next verse there. Because the palace has been abandoned. The populated city is forsaken. Hill and watchtower have become caves forever. A delight for wild donkeys, a pasture for flocks. He's saying, look around. How many of you, no matter what side of the political aisle you are on, how many of you can see that Congress in Washington's in a mess? It's been in a mess for 30 years. It's just getting worse. You know, we can look at this and we can say, wow, the palace has been abandoned. Well, maybe it's not maybe talking about people. Maybe it's talking about God's abandoned it. That we can't trust righteous judgments because we have people that don't walk with God standing in places of power. Well, guess what? We've got the power of God in us. We should be praying no matter who's there. Let's pray. Let's pray for them. Go to the next verse. And this is what they're supposed to do. Pray until the Spirit is poured out upon us from high on high. And the wilderness becomes a fertile field. And the fertile field is considered as a forest. So how long are we supposed to go around with sackcloth and ashes, fasting and praying and crying out to God? Until the Spirit's poured out upon us. How many of you have seen the Spirit poured out upon us as a nation? We seen it? There's pockets. There's little places where people are really taking serious the call of God to get on their faces and cry out before God. And God's showing up and he's saving souls and he's changing lives. But by and large, in our nation, We have forsaken the God, the creator of the universe, who has the answers for us. Who do we think we are? And ladies, we're the ones, according to these passages, that God's saying, look, do something. Don't just sit around waiting for the men to do it. I mean, the men should be doing it, but listen, if they're not, guess what we're called to do? Get up off our beds of ease, get on our faces before God, fast and pray, cry out to God until the Spirit is poured out upon us as a nation. How many of you want to see a spiritual awakening? How many of you have heard stories of people saying, oh my gosh, you know, we were just driving down the road and the presence of God came on us and we just had to pull in and get on our faces before God and we got saved or whatever. I mean, people, when the spiritual awakening comes, it changes society. It changes the culture. People honor God. They live holy lives. They're kind to each other. They're respectful of each other. They encourage one another. They build each other up. That's what the Spirit of God in us does. He doesn't make us nasty. We need a move of God. Would you say we might need that? So ladies, are we going to take up the call? Are we going to do it? Are we going to say, hey, starting today, this is my hour. I accept the call. Read on to the next verse. It says, then, when we cry out until the Spirit comes, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. Righteousness, think about that. Righteousness in the fertile field. That means things will start being productive again and there will be fruit in the land and the gardens will blossom and things will go well and there will be prosperity in the land. And the work of righteousness will be peace. How many of you want peace? How many of you want to see peace in our nation? And the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. When we have a move of God, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us as a land, there's going to be quietness in our spirits and confidence. Confidence not in ourselves, not in what we've done, but in who He is. And we get to be a part of it. We don't need glory. Ladies, we don't need credit. We just need to get on our knees and pray. And so on this Mother's Day, on this day in 2021, what will you do? Will this be the day that you say, God, I'm yours? Take me. Use me. I'll cry out to you. I will stand in the gap, Lord. I will be the one. I won't give up my watch. You can trust me, Lord, because my trust is in you. Because your Spirit lives within me. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. It's our privilege. It's our honor. Some of you that are mothers might be raising the next president or the next Billy Graham. Some of you that are mothers might be interceding for somebody that's going down a road and it looks hopeless. But if you'll take it serious, God can turn it around. It's never too late. I remember a story. I don't know if I've shared it before. Years ago, it was a little tract that I got when we were living in Alabama. And it really impacted me because I thought, wow, you have to have God's grace to do this. There was a lady who was married to a man who was a drunkard. And she had several children. And she was a believing woman. She loved God and walked with the Lord. And her husband was just a really hard taskmaster. And he didn't have any regard for her at all, and he would sometimes physically abuse her, but he was verbally abusive to her and to the children. And she would get up in the morning, and she'd get up really early, and she'd go get on her knees before the Lord, and she'd cry out to the Lord for her husband's salvation, and she'd ask for protection for her family. And he never would abuse the children, but he would abuse her. And people at church used to say to her, you need to leave that man. He's just a reprobate. He's no good. You know, get out of there. And she said, God won't let me. I know I'm supposed to stay. Now, I'm not advocating if you're in an abusive situation to stay there. So please, this was an isolated case, but it goes to show how sometimes God calls us to do hard things. And this woman had the grace to stay in the situation. 30 years, this woman would get on her knees and she'd pray. She'd get up to go to church. She'd come home. Her husband would have the door locked to where she couldn't get in, or she would get in and he beat her up because she went to church. And she'd say, "Lord, just give me the grace." And she would say to her husband, "I love you. I'm praying for you." And that would make it matter, as you can imagine. So one night she went to church. They were having a special meeting at the church, and she really felt compelled to go. And so she went, and she said, the meeting was wonderful. Lord's presence was there. She felt really encouraged. She went home, and the meeting lasted late, and it was like 10 o'clock at night, and it was pouring rain outside, and it was cold. And she got to the house, and he had locked the door and wouldn't let her in the house. And so they had a porch swing, and she thought, "Well, Lord, I guess you want me to spend the night on the swing praying for my husband." So she got on the swing, and she started praying. She just prayed, and she said, "Lord, thank you." And she would thank God for this man. Every day she thanked God for changing this man's life. And she prayed. And she fell asleep. The next morning, he opens the door and he says, "Where's my breakfast?" And she got up and she said, "Good morning." And she went, she was cheerful. She went in. This track, by the way, was written by her son. She went in and she fixed breakfast for her husband. And he just sat there and he looked at her and he just all of a sudden started weeping and sobbing. And he said, "I don't understand." And she said, "What?" He said, "Why, when I treat you so horrifically, do you serve me like this? I don't deserve this." And she sat down next to him and she put her arms around him and she said, "And I didn't deserve the grace of God either. But God loves you and he died for your sins." And that day, that man gave his life to Christ and was forever changed. Because one woman surrendered 100% to God and said, "God, I'm going to get off my bed of ease. I'm going to put on sackcloth. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And I'm not going to give up until I see your spirit poured out." How many of us have people that we love that are so far away from God and we're angry with them instead of praying for them? It's our privilege. It's our call. There's an anointing and a grace for it. And so this morning, ladies, I want to ask you, will you accept the call of God today to do just this, to cry out to God for our nation, for people you love, for those that are in authority over us, for however God wants you to pray? Will you do it? I'd like you to stand up, please. And if you're willing to do that, I'd like you to do the hard thing, and I'd like you to come up to the front and get on your face before God and surrender to God in this area. Nobody's going to judge you if you don't come up, but I just want to give you that opportunity. And then I'm going to pray for you.
The Lord is just really confirming his word. This morning I was listening to several worship songs as I was getting ready for church, and one of them was "This Is a Move." And it was a YouTube video of a huge church service, and it was worship, and they were just singing, and I was like, "Wow, this is so awesome," you know, like I was right there with them. But then the Lord started saying to me, "It's a wonderful thing to sense the tangible presence of God in a corporate setting when you're with other worshipers. It's powerful, it's amazing, and I do mighty works. But I'm not just confined to these four walls. I am going to be moving in your day-to-day living. When you are at the grocery store, when you're standing at the sink doing your dishes, I am going to be moving upon you. I'm going to anoint you, and you are going to work and move and speak. And just, I mean, it was such a confirmation when Sherry was speaking, because she said words that God said to me, you know, this is a move. I think she said those very words. So I just want to encourage all of us, and I really do sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's such a beautiful thing, and sometimes we feel him and sometimes we don't, but he's always there, to really take this word outside of these four walls. And really choose to say, every moment of your day, I am surrendered to your will, Lord. What is it you want me to do today? How can I serve? What do you want me to say? Where do you want my feet to go? What do you want my hands to do? How do you want me to pray? And this week, our fasting group is fasting Monday through Friday. I found it so amazing that she's brought up about we need to be fasting. So even if you want to join us in fasting, and if you want to be on that email feed, let me know, and we'll get you on there. But this isn't just nothing. This is really something, and we need to take it serious. And thank you for that word, and I just wanted to let you know it's just confirmed in my spirit, and the Lord confirmed it before I even got here. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Let me pray for the ladies here. Father, I want to thank you for my sisters. Lord, you know the deepest recesses of their hearts. You know the things that you've placed there inside of them, the seeds that you've planted, the seeds that have been watered. And Father, I believe that today is the day that you want to bring forth the fruit from those things that have been watered. And so, Father, I pray for each one that your Holy Spirit would come upon them with such power, Lord, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were born for such a time as this. I ask, Father, for each one that you would open their spiritual eyes, that they would see around them those that you're placing there. Father, make them aware of things that they should pray for. Give them the unction of the Holy Spirit to pray at strange times, Lord. Wake them up in the night when they're doing anything, Lord. Put those promptings on them, and Lord, give them ears to hear your voice, that they would not sit back, that they would get off of their beds of ease, Lord, and that they would take up the task for which you're calling them to. Lord, I pray that the power of God would work through these women, that these women here in this place and those online that are praying, Father, that they would be women that would be used of you to turn this world upside down, that revival and spiritual awakening would come to our land, that it would start here in Chardon and spread. And Father, we thank you for the privilege, the awesome privilege you've given us as women to stand in the gap for our land, for our families, and for our friends, Lord. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you. Take us and use us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
As these ladies are here praying, you know, this is applicable for men. Men, we need to be the leaders in our home. We need to lead by example, by love, by grace. I appreciate Sherry sharing with the ladies. But men, we need to take up the call of God in this day. If we don't, I mean, these ladies, they need us. These women need us to be examples, to be spiritual leaders, to be more than just their husbands. We need to be like Christ to them in the sense of the way that we love them and lead them and guide them. And I'm asking you men, if you have been touched by God, just the thing Sherry said, you know, it's not her, it's not me, God is the one that wants to speak to our hearts, to all of us. And if the Lord's spoken to you today about maybe your condition as a man, and you just need to get on your knees and repent, whether you come up here or where you are, but I would encourage you to come up here. I'll pray for the men. It's a need for us. So I'm asking you men to step out. If it's in your heart to do. If it's not, then don't. But if it's in your heart to do, then do it. And we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, as we are here and as we bow before you, Lord, we ask you, please, O God, hear our cry. Lord, we've been in such a desperate situation. And we know that just coming to an altar means nothing if our hearts are not embracing you. But Lord, we do embrace you. The best we know how, we ask you, Lord, would you please work in our hearts as men, work in our lives, our thought life, our diligence. Lord, would you open your word to us in a way that we've not had it before, where we look and we see the beauty of who you are, and our heart runs after you and chases you, and we pursue you, Lord. Would you grant to us repentance in those areas where we've forsaken our call as men, where we've walked away or we've been negligent, where we've been lazy, where we've just sat and done the things that we wanted to do, and we've forgotten that you've called us to be your ambassadors, your representative upon this earth, God. Would you please cleanse us from that? God, where we failed our families, our wives, or our children, God, please grant us a heart of repentance, and not only that, the humility to admit where we've been wrong and where we failed, that they might see a genuine life in us, Lord. Oh God, we're crying out to you as a congregation. We're crying out to you and we're asking you, please, Father, show mercy. Show mercy upon this land. Show mercy upon us as your people, oh God. Help us, oh God. We need your strength. We need hope, oh Lord. There's such a hopelessness in this world right now. Would you fill us with your hope, oh God? The hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon your church. Would you bring revival among churches, Lord? God, we're just crying out to you, Father. We don't know what else to do. There's desperation in the land, and unless you intervene, unless you do your work, Lord, nothing will happen except we will continue down a path of destruction. So, God, please, spare us, O God. Spare us, O God. Would you help us to live in integrity in a world that's full of duplicity? Give us the grace, Lord, to live as we ought to live, to honor you in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, in all of our transactions with people. Give us grace, O God, so that we can stand for you. O Lord, we need you so much. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for saving us. We thank you, Lord, that you showed mercy to us, that you poured out your love upon us by the death of Christ and his resurrection. We thank you, Lord, and we give honor to you. Now, Lord, as we arise from this place, may we walk in your strength and in your grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Jenny?